expectations. Yeah, you're talking really about expectation, that we want this fairy tale wedding day, and from that fairy tale, everything just went so perfectly that we're going to go on into that relationship and it's going to be perfect. And it doesn't do that. Life isn't like that. Life is messy. Life is, how do two become one? Do we become like one person becoming like a machine to the other that just goes, yes, master, anything you say? But it's not like that. Like, we are two separate people, and how we, John Gottman says something like 69% of conflict is irresolvable without some changes. In other words, we have to compromise in some situations. We have to deal with areas that we can't always be 100% our way of the highway in a relationship. And then if that happens, then the other side kind of dries up a bit. And how we kind of negotiate differences, how we, as I say, handle differences, that means that we can move forward in it. So sometimes you can win a lot of battles but lose the war, and we don't want to do that in relationships. And we see the breakup in marriages, and see what's going on. And a lot of times the difference between a marriage lasting and not breaking up is that one person decides they don't want to love the other person. And love is a choice. Love is a decision. And sometimes, I'm married 28 years, and sometimes I don't feel like loving my wife. But I intentionally do. I love her. And I choose to love her, even though sometimes, and we can base our life on feelings and rock and roll all over the place, and that must be hard for the other person to live in if I'm up and down and across and there. But how we deal with life and how we love each other well, how do I love my wife Diane well in a way that we get through things? And we have gone through, I often say Diane's been on married to 16 times, all of them to me, because I've changed. 28 years of marriage, if you look at the photograph of me 28 years ago, you might recognize me than now. And I've changed, and I've gone through, I've had my own businesses and they failed, some of them, and I've grown through that experience. I have three boys, and boy, I think, what did I say, the insanity is hereditary, you get it from your children. And so there's all that messiness in life, and like, it's, I often think that there are actually marriages a little bit like a three-legged race, and sometimes we chaffed at each other and we're not in rhythm with each other, and that causes tension between us. And trying to be in more in rhythm with each other, knowing why people are, your loved one is reacting in the same way, rather than just taking the surface stuff of the reaction. Why did they react? And what's going on there? And how can I love this person?
I mean, you talked there about choosing to love people, and that is contrary, I guess, to maybe the popular ideology of love, and that it sort of hits you from space somehow.
Yeah, it started with the kids. well, they say love is blind and all these sort of things. And sometimes, you know, people can say when they kind of, I love, he's got strong character. And then later on they say he's such a stubborn man or woman. You know what I mean? And there's the shadow sides of good stuff. And, you know, it's trying to kind of, in relationships, it's trying to kind of work in rhythm with each other, and choosing, as I say, to love them, and recognizing that a lot of the stuff, like, relationships don't break down because of arguments and stuff like that. They break down because someone stops arguing nearly, you know, and gives up on the relationship, you know, and that's where, all the studies in America about the relationships, it's all about that. One person kind of leaves the kind of nearly relationships in a mental way, and kind of gives up, and then there's no arguments, there's no nothing, because they're not fighting for anything, they've given up. And so with a guy called John Gottman, he talks about, for flourishing relationships you need 5 positives to 1 negative. So like, there's a book called The 5 Love Languages, and these 5 love languages are touch, time, words of affirmation, gifts, and acts of service. And we can, by giving those to our loved ones, we fill them emotionally. And sometimes, though, we make the mistake of giving them our love languages, which can be like, with mine, it could be gifts and time, maybe. My wife's is, unfortunately for me, she loves when she sees me going around hoovering the floor or doing something like that. Hers is acts of service. But if I just gave her gifts, and I did it when we got married first, that doesn't tick her boat. She kind of was, oh, thanks very much. And she would nearly give me a gift voucher and say, that's a lovely present, isn't it? And I would go, that's bleh, you know what I mean? So we were missing each other language-wise in that. So recognize each other's love language, recognizing what that is, and stretching ourselves in. I know that Diane tries to now give me a gift that she thinks I'll like rather than a gift voucher, and that's her stretch. And my stretch is maybe doing the dishes or hoovering the floor, because that's her love language. And we speak to each other's love language in that way, and that fills each other up. And trying to... I loved the story about a doctor whose patient had had a stroke, right? And the lady's face was kind of paralyzed down one side, and her lips were all distorted to the side, right? And her husband hadn't seen this, and the doctor was in when the husband arrived, and he came into the actual room. He went down, and he kissed her on the lips, and he shaped his mouth around the shape of her mouth. You know, that's in some ways, looking at relationships, it's sometimes not what I can get out of it, but how I can give, how I can adjust in a way that we can be in rhythm with each other and love each other well. And, you know, and that can be the challenge. And sometimes when we start thinking it's all, you know, I don't feel loved, or I, you know what I mean, go into that format, it does start putting splinters in into the relationship. Where what are you giving into the relationship? How can you adjust in a way that can make the relationship work? And challenges, my wife challenges me. And boy, it's not always easy when she's challenging me, but she's challenged me in a way to in a way that will hopefully develop our relationship on a deeper level.
But there are people out there who are saying, you know, marriage is in crisis and divorce is on the rise and it's maybe not even feasible anymore in modern society that we live in. What do you think about that?
Well, I, as I said at the start, we're made for relationships, and in Nazi Germany, in the actual concentration camps, it was the two that survived. It wasn't the singular person. Resilience is not necessarily about the individual. It's about someone connecting with someone to help you get resilient, in other words. And I think we are made for relationships. And having a relationship, a deep relationship, that you are known and known, is what we seek. Love and belonging is a core thing of what all human nature wants, right? And in this day and age, a lot of people are dying alone. A lot of people are on their own. And that's sad, because whatever way their life has got isolated. And really, my encouragement to you is connect with some other people somehow. Like, if you've no children or you're on your own, go out and meet people. Join a club. Join a society. And with me as well, my important thing to me is my faith in God, and that relationship with Him. Because I know He holds my hand through all my crappy stuff, you know what I mean? All my challenges, all the things that are going on in my life, and He is with me, and He will never leave me. I know that. And He will never, never, never leave me. He'll always be there through all that journey and through all the difficulties and challenges I've had in my life. And He loves me unconditionally. And in showing me that, He's given me an example of unconditional love. And when I come across people that are very hard to love, how do I love them? And that can be a challenge. How do I love sometimes when I don't feel like loving my wife? How do I still love her? Is a challenge. But, you know, God has given us that example through Jesus Christ dying on the cross for us. And He has given us that example. And I love, and in all our lives, I think we'll come across difficult people. And the challenge is, it's easy to love people that are easy to love. But how are you doing with loving the people that aren't easy to love?